Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome back to the show. Let's talk to Jane Foley. She's the senior FX strategist for Rabobank. Morning to you, young
Good
Jane.
Morning.
How the devil are you?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
Living the dream with Zach. He's coming with a stinking cold.
Man flu. This is proper stuff.
Man flu. Right, three areas I want to touch on today. Let's kick off with the Bank of Japan. Mm. What's going on?
Well, of course, over the last couple of weeks, there's been a rise in speculation that the Bank of Japan might do more in terms of stimulus. Now, the market's been talking about this really for quite a long time. Through a large part of last year, a lot of economists saying, well, Bank of Japan, they were near hitting that 2% inflation forecast, therefore, surely they've got to ease. And yet the rhetoric from Kuroda, from the Bank of Japan, has been a little bit different. Whilst they've clearly left the door open for further easing, they haven't really shown an awful lot of will to actually move. Now, things might have changed this year, partly because, of course, the exchange rate. We've seen the yen a little bit stronger against the dollar. There is, of course, the concerns ongoing about Chinese growth. That, of course, a big trading partner for Japan. So the odds have moved in favour of Japan going. I think they might wait. We've got the spring wage negotiations, Bank of Japan and the Japanese government hoping that we're going to see better wage deals for workers, that will improve demand, that will improve inflation. So maybe they're going to wait and see what those bring. Although, are Japanese employers really going to increase wages that much?
A couple of points there. I mean, the first thing is that, well, the delay in the Bank of Japan doing anything isn't it because they've run out of arrows? They've got nothing left to do. I mean, they've done everything that they can do. And the second point, is there any example of a central bank successfully getting inflation up from zero to 2%?
Well, I think, you know, you've put in the market scepticism right there. If you look through the Bank of Japan minutes, there's actually one member of the committee that wants the Bank of Japan to reduce the amount of QQE that it's doing at the moment. And that for technical reasons. There's a lot of concern about the amount of stock that the Bank of Japan are buying. Can they just keep on indefinitely increasing at the amount of purchases? Well, the answer's got to be no. So clearly that is a concern. With respect to the target, yeah, Japan have been in this situation for 25 years trying to create additional demand, create inflation. I suspect that one of the reasons that they invented the target just a few years ago, that Kuroda remains optimistic about the target, is psychology. Trying to persuade consumers and investors and firms that inflation will rise and trying to change behaviour due to that. And if that's the case, it's fairly desperate. So there is, again, that the likelihood that the Bank of Japan will continue with its relatively optimistic speak, while on the other hand, perhaps downgrading its inflation forecasts.
Commodities, a few words on them. Have we found a bottom? Are we anywhere near the bottom?
There are a few analysts out there that do think that perhaps the end is closer in sight, but there is a massive common denominator through a lot of commodities, and I'm not just talking about oil, it remains for iron ore, for coal, etc., and that is we've still got excess supply. Now, in terms of investment in a lot of these industries, yes, we have seen news that investments are going to be put on hold, that jobs are being lost, etc., etc., but we've still got a lot of supply due to the investments that were made over the last 10 or so years. So oversupply is still there. At the same time, we have the likes of the IMF, etc., once again this month downgrading its estimates for world growth. So it doesn't seem that expectations of demand are really there to soak up all of this excess demand. And therefore, for now at least, it seems that we're stuck with low commodity prices.
That's a joy, isn't it? Federal Reserve, is that clearer?
No. You know, it's very interesting because we will soon have the Q4 GDP data for the US, and it does seem likely, given that the data that we've seen for that quarter, that when the Fed hiked interest rates last month, it did so in a quarter which is likely to post one of the lowest growths since the US came out of recession in 2009. So why did they hike? Well, in hindsight, well, perhaps they had to. They had, for credibility reasons, maybe they'd cornered themselves, said they were going to do something. Perhaps they did. Did they actually need to hike rates last month? Probably not. Now, the Fed did talk up employment at yesterday's FOMC did say that improvements are being made in the labour market situation, which is true. But in terms of inflation, well, inflation still remains very moderate. Will they hike in March? We don't think so. Will they hike in June? Well, the chances are a little bit higher, but it very much depends on the economic data that we get between now and then.
Where does this all leave Mr. Carney?
Well, you know, Carney came out last week with this speech that this is not the time to hike interest rates, but actually he was only catching up with what the market thought already. The futures market has been toying with 2017 as the first interest rate hike for the UK, really for some months. So Carney's speech was just playing catch up with that. If you consider, again, you know, the growth in the world economy, a lot more pessimism now than there was just a couple of months ago. If you consider growth in the UK, we've just had the GDP report, 0.5% Q&Q. Quite nice, but again, that the labour data aside, apart from we have had data suggestive of slowing growth, and that's wage inflation, particularly production data, suggesting that the UK is softening. And again, no real need for the UK to enter into a hiking of interest rates. And on top of that, we've got politics. If there is an increase in political uncertainty due to Brexit, the likelihood is, and this is something that Carney pointed out this week, that long-term interest rates will rise. Now, that's going to have a constraining element on the UK economy.
So, I mean, I think that's the fun part of the whole equation, that going into the summer, for some reason, it looks as though people are going to vote to leave the EU. There's a run on the pound. And actually, it's almost, you know, that it's like the old style, you know, the 70s and 80s, where they actually have to raise interest rates to stop, a capital flight. Because there could be quite a bad capital flight. I mean, all the billionaires with their houses in Mayfair think, oh, actually, we don't like it here anymore. We're off.
That's a worst case scenario. You know, we can't rule it out. You would like to think that even if the population were about to vote, know that the no count would prevent the capital flight by putting up a decent set of arguments that the UK would still work well outside. But that is the worst case scenario. But I think another reason that might be avoided is that Cameron has said that he's got until 2017 to call this referendum. We'll only likely have an early referendum if he thinks he's going to get yes to stay in vote. And that very much depends on whether or not he can reach a deal with the EU about the reforms that he wants to make. And if he gets those reforms, the chances that we'll get a yes to stay in vote rise.
Jane Furley, Senior FX Strategist for Rabobank. Thank you, as always, for your continued support for the Tip TV crowd. Right, let's take a very quick break.